It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Arizona. Oh, we're back. But now we're going to Mexico. We're talking to Jeff Berwick, and Danny Sessom is going to try and, you know, come on. He's on a little bit, but he's got really bad connection, there in Acapulco. Now, what's going on is Hurricane Otis recovery. We're going to be promoting that. We'll tell you all about it, what happened. Hurricane Otis, O-T-I-S, recovery.com. Now you'll see some GoFundMe opportunities there, and Jeff Berwick and the crowd at Acapulco has a lot of relationships with the people down there, know the real people, the people on the beach people, the people that live there people, the people whose houses and structures got wiped away and businesses and so on, and they know who to give what to and not like the government. You know, it's going to get directly to what needs to be done. Now Danny Sessom is down there, and he's in the middle and the thick of it and help coordinating up, because Danny does this when there's hurricanes here in the U.S., Mexico, earthquakes, right? This is what he does. Now, there's an orphanage down there called the Marsh Orphanage. Now, we have visited there several times. Danny's really tight with the kids there and so on, and we'll find out what happened to them and what they need and how's it going. But Jeff Berwick was following this. The hurricane came to his attention. He started looking. He's going, hey, and I don't think anybody knows. Get out. Get out. Get out. This is going to be bad. Category 5, it got amped up somehow. Somebody pushed a button or something, and this thing went stupid. And every single structure, every hotel, every glass window, everything just totally devastated Acapulco. Now, Jeff is helping lead a lot of the recovery effort there. Just people don't die. We're going to talk about it. Jeff, where do you want to start with this? I mean, I think the story of how you came across it, you can encapsulate that. Take your time to let us know what you were warning people of, how they reacted, who got saved, what happened from that. And then if we can get Danny back on, you know, hopefully we can see stuff that we got pictures up and everything we'll share. But tell us the story, Jeff, will you please?
Yeah, thank you, Ernie, for having me on. I guess I should start right from the very beginning, because still, right, as of this day, most people don't even know this happened. I think with everything going on in Gaza, in Palestine, that most people are focused on that, and rightfully so. That is the most heinous thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. But because of that, and because the media almost did no coverage whatsoever of it, hardly anyone even knows that there was one of the most dramatic, massive weather weapon attacks done on Acapulco on Tuesday evening of last week. So to start with, it was like Tuesday around 6 o'clock p.m. That I just kind of got wind somehow. It just popped up on my screen that there might be a hurricane headed towards Acapulco. And I was a little surprised, because I keep my eye on those things, and I hadn't seen anything earlier before that.
Well, who sent something to you? How had you know?
It was just on like Twitter or something. I saw someone say there's a hurricane headed towards Acapulco.
Really?
And because I have had a house there, I still do, but it's a pretty banged up right now, and a boat, which I don't have anymore, that I keep my eye on it, and I know a lot of people in Acapulco, so I just generally watch the hurricane season. And there was nothing before that. And I was a little surprised. I was like, that's weird. I didn't even know there was a tropical storm or anything. And so I started looking into it. And this is around Tuesday at 6 in the evening. And all of a sudden, it starts ramping up. And it looks like it's headed towards like a Category 4 within a couple of hours. And so I go on to all these sort of meteorological type things, storm trackers and stuff like that. All these guys who really track this stuff. And all I see is everyone freaking out saying, how did we miss a Cat 5? Like we didn't even, it wasn't there. We didn't have anything in our models. And all of a sudden it's there right now. And everyone was freaking out. And even since then, a number of people at MIT and the University of Miami have come out. And these are the people who track hurricanes. And that's all they do, have said that for some reason their models didn't even pick it up. And one of them said it was like there was some sort of a secret a mystery ingredient, he called it, in the hurricane. So I'll get into that in a bit, but so I see it's ramping up to like, it looks like it's almost at a Category 4 at about 8 or 9 p.m. Tuesday. So, and no one's talking about it. As far as I could tell, I was pretty much one of the only people in the world who knew about it. only a couple of these storm trackers started to pick it up, but there was nothing being written. There was nothing on Twitter, nothing. No one knew anything, nothing on the news, of course, anything like that. And so I start going into all of our groups, and we have a number of groups in Acapulco, for North Acapulco. We have for my wife's family, all these groups. I go in and I say that... guys, there's a Cat 4 right now. It looks like it's going to be a Cat 5, and it looks like it's going to hit Acapulco by the morning on Wednesday. And almost every single person brushed it off. Almost everyone that was in Acapulco said, Jeff, it's fine here right now. It's a little gray. There's no wind. No one said there's a hurricane coming. Jeff, you're always, you're always saying all these extreme things. I actually wrote in our newsletter this week that I feel like the boy who cried wolf, except for I'm the boy who 100% knows a wolf is coming and no one ever listens to me. And actually only one person listened to me, and it was actually his wife. So I told him, because he's my neighbor in Acapulco. He's actually my financial guy, my CFO for my company. And I said, there's like a Cat 4, and it looks like it could be a Cat 5 hit by morning in Acapulco. And his first reaction was, well, it's fine right now. And then he said, I like hurricanes. And I said to him, a hurricane Category 1 is kind of fun. It's, a big show. With your house, and I knew their house was not like the kind that will withstand a Category 5 hurricane, it will be wiped out. And they had two small children. Luckily, his wife overheard it. I started talking to her, and I convinced her that for their safety, they had to leave immediately. And then they started saying, well, we don't have a car. So I actually had people from my house drive over to their house and give them my car, and they got out. So they're the only people of all the people that I or my wife told, and we told everyone we knew, that there was a massive hurricane coming. And just like with most things I did, no one listened. And so then it's like getting close to midnight, and I thought the storm was going to hit by morning. So I thought, well, I've told everyone I can. Everyone's asleep now. No one was even responding. Almost every single person in Acapulco, just so you know, went to sleep that night, not knowing there was even a tropical storm, much less a hurricane. And the tracker guys who were tracking in real time that evening said, it looks like it's going to hit around 5 or 6 in the morning. So I ended up going to sleep. I'm like, well, there's no point in me staying up all night and just sitting here and waiting. I might as well go to sleep. I've told everyone. And I'll get up in the morning and we'll hope it doesn't hit Acapulco, because we weren't sure exactly where it was going to hit at that time. And so I wake up at around 6-5 in the morning, and there's no one online in Acapulco whatsoever. And we then find out that the storm actually hit just after midnight. So it popped up out of nowhere, turned into a Category 5, headed straight for Acapulco, and demolished Acapulco and disappeared completely. And there was no rain in the hurricane. So this is not a normal natural hurricane. It was more like a giant tornado. It was definitely from everything. I haven't even gotten into all the details, but once you hear all the details, it is definitely 100% a weather weapon. And it's for reasons that the Mexican government had not been going along with the New World Order agenda. They have not been going on with along with GMOs and with chemtrails and with the COVID. They didn't do any laws for COVID. When they did the Russia-Ukraine thing, they didn't sanction Russia like they wanted them to. And so all of these things, they've been attacking Mexico, and it actually started earlier this year. It started in February when three separate Mexico Pemex oil facilities all blew up all at the same time. So that was the first warning to Mexico. And then before this all happened, there was a hurricane category 4 that not many people know about. They haven't been publicizing them, that hit directly. There's only three major, well, there's a couple more, but there's the three major cities on the west coast of Mexico are Cabo, Puerto Vallarta, and Acapulco. So, and these storms are labeled alphabetically. So the first one was Hurricane Lidia with an L, hit Puerto Vallarta dead on. And the chances of these things hitting all these cities dead on is like one in a trillion, because they could hit 100 miles either side and the damage would be 95% less than it was. But they all hit dead on these cities. So Hurricane Lidia was a category 4 and hit dead on in Puerto Vallarta. Then the next one was Hurricane Max Egan, possibly. Who knows how far ahead they planned these things. That hit Acapulco, but it was a smaller one. But Max actually couldn't do videos all that week about Palestine. He's one of the biggest Palestine guys. Then the next one was Nadia, I believe it was called. It hit directly on Cabo. It was a category 4, but it actually went down to about a category 1 just as it was hitting. So that one wasn't quite as damaging, but it still hit directly on Cabo. And then this one is called Hurricane Otis, and it hit directly on Acapulco. And not just directly, by the way, Max Egan, who somehow wasn't there at the time, and neither was I, we get sort of a intuition about these things, and I can even get into that if you want, but he did the tracking of it a few days later, once we had all the data. The first point of landfall was at Max Egan's house in Bonfield. And right behind Max's house is the secret garden where Acapulco is held, where you just emceed last year. That was the direct point of contact of a category 5 that is unlike any storm we've ever seen in history. No rain whatsoever, came out of nowhere. Some of the gusts, some people said, I haven't been able to verify this, as high as 300 miles per hour. I've seen some videos that of webcams that before they cut out, that are things I've never seen with a hurricane before. I actually don't know how anyone survived it at all. Somehow there's not that many deaths. We still don't know. We're still getting information. But we haven't personally, we've been there all week working. Danny's been incredible working there all week. We've been raising funds and helping out.
It's definitely a Danny thing, man. He's all over this kind of crap.
I have to say, I don't know how he does it. He was there. This happened on Tuesday night. He was there before Wednesday night from Texas. He was on the ground. And all week I'm hearing people go, did you hear about these people in this part of Acapulco? And they're like, yeah, Danny was just there. He was just helping them out. And this has happened all over Acapulco all week. He's getting some sort of a medal from me or from someone after this.
Absolutely.
He has been unbelievable. And he's still ongoing. He's trying to come in on this show, but there's not much signal in Acapulco. So the biggest problem at first was, so I wake up Wednesday morning, and there's no one online in Acapulco. And so we send our people down. Danny was already on his way down because that's what Danny does. And my people arrive on Wednesday evening in Acapulco, but there's no signal, no power, and all the roads were all cut off from trees falling and all that kind of stuff. So it took them a while to get in, and then they had to get out by Thursday morning to get outside of Acapulco to get an internet signal to tell me what was going on. So that was the first time I actually heard anything about what had happened was Thursday morning, so more than 24 hours later. And when we heard the news on Thursday morning, we heard it's completely devastated. It's beyond belief how bad it is. I'm lucky that we have an incredible team at both Acapulco and the Dollar Vigilante with all kinds of people who are incredibly capable. Within 2 hours, we had a website up at hurricaneotisrecovery.com. We had a GoFundMe set up. We had all the crypto addresses set up. I did an emergency video within an hour or so of that. We raised about, well, to date, it's over $350,000. And I want to thank everyone who's donated. It's been so valuable. It's helped out so many people already.
You know, Jeff, right now we're showing Danny. We have a video up on the archive of Danny with the, you know, the Anarchapoco Anarchist A logo on the white van as they're dishing out, you know, stuff to people. Now, you know, when we started promoting this, and the money started coming, you did a nice video. You know, Jeff, you're kind of a hero on this too. I mean, we're gonna, you know, you get a little plaque, you know. But the but when you were warning people, we just got a comment on the DLive stream from Kat. She said that she, once you made sure everybody knew, and she knew, she was telling everybody too. I'm sorry.
When I say that I told everyone, I mean, like, I told people like Kat, and I said, tell everyone, and she did. And as far as I know, no one listened to us.
I know. Well, you know, it's not like you got a bad track record on this stuff, you know? And while we're at it, let everybody know, you know, there's a big, giant, worldwide financial hurricane coming, FYI, okay? So I'm like in a race. I got to get out in the desert on. We're out here now building, doing, getting ready for, here it comes. So whatever you're seeing going on here is going to be a worldwide economic thing, just saying. You know, just as an aside, right now we have this opportunity. On a 1 to 10, what are you thinking about that comment? I mean, you know, where do you think we're at?
On financial?
Yeah, no, I mean a worldwide hurricane comment. I mean, now's your chance to warn them.
We're in it right now. People don't even realize it again. but I'm not even that concerned about that, because what it looks like is we're headed towards World War III at the moment. And this is going to be what's happening in Acapulco, what's happening in Gaza is going to happen similarly all across the world very soon. In many ways. And then there's the financial side of it. That's all going to collapse as well. This is stuff we've been talking about for the last few years, and now it's all happening.
Well, this is I'm glad we got to be able to make that link, because this is part of, if you have, there's a weather weapon, or there was an intent, or there was, you know, they, them, those, because they can, kind of, you know, everybody, Ernie, do you think they would do this? They would do that. I don't know. Can they? Well, if they can, they freaking are, because they sure as hell want to. And this is a perfect example of that, because in Acapulco, you already have Mexico kind of, I remember going down there. We drove to San Diego, go across the Sky Bridge to Tijuana Airport for us to walk across, so that we didn't have to go through a bunch of testing and shots and all this other crap. You know, we're doing that. Oh, Danny's trying to come in, so we'll give him a shot. But the as we did this, Mexico, they're like, yeah, because we have to, and they're making us, you can fill this out, we don't really care, and we throw it away. I mean, they actually said that. As you're reading it, they're just like, we're complying as little as we can because we don't care. And I'm going, you know, that's a cool attitude to have. But the people were kind of masked up, except those associated with the Anarchapoco. They were a lot, you know, different mindset. So the thing is that I can see that the world wanting compliance from all these different countries, Mexico's not as enthusiastically jumping on board. When you have a Anarchapoco and the event that you're doing, and it's building there and helping the people on the ground and relationships with the people like what Danny does, then what happens? All of a sudden, you know, we got to make an example. We got to get these guys on the right track. We got to. So whenever they do that, and then we take care of our own, we donate, we help, we send, we do, and Danny on the front lines. You know, that is just another example of we don't need you, while they're not doing anything anyway. Danny, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you now. I'm on Jason's phone.
All right, cool. All right, oh, you got Jason down there with you. All right, that's cool. Yeah. Jeff, go ahead and finish up what you want to say, and you can ask right now. You know, go ahead and ask Danny questions that you want to know, and people that you know what's up, and we'll just hear from the response from that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, we've been in contact with Danny all week, of course, so I don't really need to ask him anything, but I'll just sort of finish up by saying that, so when we got in there, we were the only people for the first four full days, and maybe Danny can correct me if I'm slightly wrong, but as far as I know, the only real people doing any concerted real effort to bring in supplies, because every single thing was wiped out, and Danny can fill us in on that, but people have no food, no water, many people have no houses. And there was no outside help that I know of for the first at least 4 days. There now appears to be Red Cross coming in. As far as I know, the government still really hasn't done much. So we've been mostly the only people doing most of the things to help out Acapulco so far. And it's still a very, very dire situation. So let's hear from Danny what's going on.
So when we arrived, I guess the day after we pulled in from the north, coming down from Zihuatanejo, we came through Pai de la Cuesta, which is kind of an outskirt of Acapulco, and it was just destroyed. I mean, the flooding was really bad over there. There was holes in the road. People were standing in line for food that was just basically from Aurora Bodega, one of the grocery stores, was just giving out the rest of what was not damaged from their store. And it was utter chaos. It took us almost a full day just to cross Acapulco to get to the Bonetil side. We broke down in one of the worst areas of Acapulco, and we had to take our motorcycles out of the van to continue on over to Bonetil. And we fully expected that the van was just going to be destroyed and all, you know, the solar ripped out and just robbed. But they didn't touch a thing. They didn't mess with us at all. People kept an eye on the van for us. It, you know, when we were coming, Jason stated to me something about, oh man, it's going to be chaos. They're looting and they're doing this and they're doing that. Yeah, well, they're doing that to like Walmart and Mega and all these bigger corporate stores. But in every time I've responded to it, whether it's earthquakes, hurricanes, whatever, you see the best in people. I mean, people really stick together, and that's why I like doing this, you know, since the very first time I did it. And during Hurricane Harvey, I was like, man, this is just awesome. But just to see what local people do for each other, you know? I mean, you remember, Ernie, when we did that interview and I was in the HEB parking lot and the military was guarding the ice. And it was just churches and local Go Blows out there setting up food lines and feeding everybody while the military had, you know, eight armed guards for a truck of ice. Like, they're giving away. What are you even guarding it for? You're giving it away. It's senseless stuff.
All right, Danny, let me ask you, you know, being down there and doing this, the Mexican government, they're probably, I would imagine, not in a big giant hurry, and they're going to get inspired by you doing it and kind of wait, me too. Are they getting in your way as much as the U.S. did?
No. In the U.S., it was, you know, all of the local police were very helpful, and they would point me in the direction of where I needed the help. Like when you sent me to Ron Falls, I ran into some local cops there at, I think it was called Columbia, something like that. Anyway, one of the local towns near there, the local cops actually pointed me in the right direction to help people. But the state police and the government would get in our way. Remember, we had rescue boats that were pulling people out of the water. They would wait for us to pull the people out of the water, then they would take photo ops and then kick us out. So we'd have to go find a new place to put our boat in the water. It was pretty insane.
Now, this is a common thing. Do you know why they do that? What is their motivation for being in your way like that?
They want to be responsible. They want to be able to say that they did the thing so that they can get the funding. You know, it's like the reason why Red Cross is so much bullshit in the U.S. is because they want to give away everything. So they literally will throw things away rather than give it away so that they can justify their funding for the next time it happens. And, you know, I've seen evidence of this happening where they were just throwing away donations in Houston so that they could justify getting more for Maria, because they were going from Hurricane Harvey to Maria over in Florida. So they were, you know, they were packing up and leaving. They just threw it all away rather than carry it with them and have something to give away at the next spot. They would throw it away to justify their donation. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Now here it's different. Like the you know, we just passed military trucks with a bunch of water. They're passing out. The military has not been our way at all here. I haven't seen a lot from the Red Cross over the last couple of days. I see their station, but the very first days that I was here, they were handing out packages that were branded from Walmart. So I guess Walmart maybe gave that to them, and they were handing it out. The military's been pretty helpful. The linemen, that's universal. No matter where you go, the linemen are like, those are the real heroes. Those guys they're great everywhere you go. I mean, what I've seen in Houston was linemen from all over the U.S. had just showed up, and they had heard about me, and they were calling me, asking me, where to go? Where do I go? And I was like, oh, geez. So I was literally directing some of the linemen to go to these different places.
Well, the federal government seemed to be the one that was FEMA. Just they're there for photo ops and doing it and pointing M16s at people.
Yeah.
But in Mexico, the contrast between, say, you know, Houston area or something, and what you were talking about is when Harvey hit, Ron Paul's home took a direct hit, but they had it pretty much taken care of. We called and you went down there and checked out whatever, but then you saw other people in need and they kind of direct, yeah, we're good, go over here. And it was awesome, the crypto space, because it was really easy for us to donate crypto and you could convert it and you were able to help. Now in Mexico and Narcoco, you know, when Jeff did that call to action, Jeff, how much have you raised? I mean, it's hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's enough. What did you get?
We're over 350,000 right now. 250,000 of it came through GoFundMe, but they haven't released the funds and we haven't received them yet.
Just so everyone knows.
It appears it's en route right now. We put a lot of pressure on them, but we're almost at a week in and we still have not received any of the funds. We're hoping any day now, but we've actually, surprise, surprise, survived mostly all on crypto. We've received over $100,000 in crypto. The biggest donations came in through Monero. So there you go. And that's actually how we've been getting all of this stuff going and all of our distribution centers set up and all the supplies coming in is all through crypto.
Okay, no, wait. Let's talk about this right. GoFundMe thing. So GoFundMe is doing, they're going, donate here and your disaster relief if they get it right now and you got to, and we'll take care of it. Yeah, not so much. So this is, what is the delay? Is this normal? Are they just kind of holding it, waiting for a permission slip to give you the money donated to you? What's going on?
It's a lot of the typical red tape stuff. The first thing that was a problem was getting IRS forms filled out. We got that filled out pretty quickly. We actually listed some of the crypto addresses on the GoFundMe and they got mad at us because, of course, they don't make any money if we do that. So we took it off immediately. Then it seemed like it was another few days. And then they finally said, OK, we're going to start releasing funds. But then nothing happened for a day or two. Or, you know, I might have some of the timeframes slightly off. This has all been basically a hurricane of activity here. Yeah. And then they said they released it to the bank, but that was on Friday. And of course, banks are closed on the weekend, the old archaic banking system. So nothing's happening until Mondays. Then on Monday, we heard that they're going to release it and it's going to be in our bank account on November 6th, which is a week from yesterday.
Oh my God.
But then we received another notification that it should arrive within 2 to 5 business days, which is, you know, if this is supposed to be an emergency sort of, not all of it is, but a lot of people use it for emergencies.
Absolutely.
This is a ridiculous, ridiculous system. They've got the funds. They can easily transfer it in 1 second if it's a business day within business hours, because that's how a bank works. But they are incredibly bad. I don't want to say too much bad about them yet until we get our funds.
I do.
They'll
it's already
hearing
too
a
late.
Lot more about it from me.
So GiveSendGo or some of these others, are they better? Have you tried them? Why did you do
yes,
a
GoFundMe? Yes, they are. But and a lot of people said, you know, why don't you do Gifts and Go? We did Gifts and Go. So far, we've received $5,000 on Gifts and Go. We've received so much on GoFundMe because so many people have already donated there. They already have accounts. It's just a one-click sort of a thing. So most, the majority of the funds have actually come in through GoFundMe, unfortunately. And unfortunately, their systems are in such a way. And we also saw during the Canadian trucker convoy, they not only froze all the funds, but they stole all the funds because they didn't like the protests against the vaccines. So again, I don't want to say too much bad until we get our money, and then you'll hear me saying a lot.
I'll say it right now. Bring it. Bring it. This would be, we would get hundreds of thousands of dollars of publicity. They're messing with the wrong people. They do this. It's like, oh, and the solution is Monero, R, Bitcoin Cash, whatever the heck, because this is exactly why. This is exact neon flashing, just document all this stuff. You know, I could be a butthead. This is stuff I love being a butthead about. Now, Danny, not having access to these funds, is it slowing you down or the crypto enough to get you going and, you know, you can start the next wave as it comes in if they ever release it? But, you know, are you for lacking anything, Danny?
No, we're doing all right now because I'm actually using my personal bank account to buy everything. And then Jeff's guys are reimbursing me for what I'm spending. So we're able, I mean, Jason has this, you know, giant Sprinter van, which is like a 3/4 ton cargo van. So we can get a full pallet of water, half a pallet of toilet paper, and then a bunch of food. So I'm spending, you know, $3,000 at a time, somewhere, something like that. And we're just going back and forth. You know, yesterday we had the kids from the orphanage actually help us package everything so that we could start a food line.
Okay, and, this is awesome. The orphanage. I want the people to know about the orphanage. The orphanage there has how many people? How many kids? Like 80 or something like that?
They got like 60 kids over there, and you know we've taken care of them over the past. So we haven't given them anything right now. We've got other people that are coming and helping with them, but they're giving back to us. So we've been giving to them for years, and now they're stepping up and helping us package. Right. And do the thing to get the, you know, get the food out to the, you know, to the neighborhood there. Like I said, I was using my bank account and we're getting the crypto funds that are reimbursed to me. But if you remember, you know, during Hurricane Harvey, it was not even a thing. The hurricane went as far in as Austin and it damaged our tower. So we were broadcasting on Facebook Live because we didn't have a radio signal. And I had a little bit of money left over from Dash, you know, and said, you know what, I'm going to take this money and instead of giving it to the local homeless, I'm going to give it to people down on the coast who are homeless because of a hurricane. And people were listening and they just started donating money while I was on the air. By the time the show was over, I opened the wallet and someone sent me 10 Bitcoins, and Bitcoin was $4,300 there. So I had $43,000 right off the bat. And then over that next week or whatever, I ended up with $60,000. I was down there for 6 weeks. But that, I converted that because I had my Coinbase credit card. I just put that in Coinbase right then, and I was spending within the hour. I was down in San Antonio. Within an hour, I left Austin, went to San Antonio, hit the first Walmart, and then I just hit every Walmart after that on the way down. The hurricane was still coming. People were leaving. People were escaping from the coast, and I was heading towards Corpus Christi onto the back side of the hurricane. So I came in behind the hurricane and then just followed it through Houston, you know, as it moved.
Well, compare that to Mexico now, what's going on now. The ease of crypto conversion, credit card, doing rock and roll and whatnot. And then now it's what? You're just having to dip into your personal funds to be able to have a stopgap. But, you know,
that gets me through until right now. Yesterday we started receiving more funds, so it's not a problem.
How large is the problem? Let's talk about the problem. You know, are you mostly in Boneville? Are you going to Nakapoco too?
Main problem is we have to drive 5 hours to get stuff. So we're leaving, you know, in the morning. We get up at 8 o'clock. We drop our stuff off, and then we're driving back 5 hours. But we're not getting home until 10 p.m. at night, and then we got to start it all over again. So,
are there other people like you? Tell us of the other relief efforts. You know, I think they're smaller.
There are other people with smaller vehicles that are doing it as well. I think what would be ideal is to get a semi or a paquete, a Castor truck or something
that can bring us a
bigger load. So, yeah, I think they're looking at having somebody with a plane bring some stuff, and we're looking at bringing our sound guy, Luigi, I think, has a bigger truck, and he's going to start moving into action. But so I don't even have a Costco account, but this is what I can tell you about Sam's Club and Costco. Whenever there's a disaster, you don't need an account. You just go and tell them, hey, I'm doing this, and they will let you in. They'll even give you a discount. So,
Very cool.
You don't need memberships with those guys.
So
when,
how desperate is it, the people there? I want to get into Jardín Secreto, the location, because that was an open area. It's like a jungle with a bunch of huts and buildings in it. So if it gets a 300-mile-an-hour wind, the trees are going to do some damage. I guarantee freaking you that. So this is – you been to Jardín?
The trees are laid over. I went back there to look at it, and the trees are all laid over. I can't get in, but I can see that long driveway you walk down, it's just trees are just laid over that, and you can't get back there. I have seen some pictures of it from the inside, so some of the structures are still okay, and they're confident they will have it back up and ready for February. And what I think might happen, you know, if you're thinking about this, is now that the trees are gone, it may actually give them the opportunity to redesign this where it's actually a more friendly space to more people. So this might be, you know, it's a disaster, but
take advantage of it.
Reborn is very literal right now.
Yeah, you guys got that Phoenix thing going on. Freedom Reborn, right on.
All of Boneville and the Secret Garden is going to be completely reborn.
So that's where you're spending most of your time.
Comes out of these negatives.
You're kind of focused. Well, you say Acapulco and the bay there. Boneville is kind of down the beach a little bit, which is where, you know, Acapulco has spent a lot of its effort and so on there. So really, Boneville is not the big resorts and the big hotels and the big, it's more of the local kind of economy, which I think is kind of cooler. I really like that vibe that's down there.
Right.
And the people know you guys and Jeff and Acapulco and Dollar Vigilante and all the stuff that you've done with the orphanage and everything. They expect, did they expect the big white van and the big Acapulco anarchist there giving out food to the people right freaking away. Tell me about their response.
I don't think they expected it, but they recognized us, and they all thanked us. They knew who we were. I had several of them, anarchistas, because we had the big Acapulco logo on the side of Jason's van as we were handing out the food. So, yeah, I had several people, anarchistas.
There's a thing. Jeff, I want to ask Jeff something. Okay, Jeff, this is a awesome opportunity. I just interviewed a couple of people from Argentina, and they're young, you know, exchange students from around the world, Japan, Europe, whatever, and Argentina. It's called projectarizona.us up here. And what happened is, of course, I was interested in Javier Milei, which is running for president. They're going into the runoff in November, and it's going to be a thing in Argentina. Now you have him with anarchist flags calling the state everything but human. I mean, it's awesome. But now we got this anarchist rock star, literally. He's an economics professor or something, and plays in a band and got wild, crazy hair, whatever. Well, what happens is now that they're seeing Anarchapoco and the anarchists coming, you know, beating the government by days, weeks, you know, and helping and so on, they're going to need a Javier Milei in Mexico. You know, this is, you can see it coming. The bad guys have no idea what they do when they do this kind of crap, or they just, you know, don't do their job. So this, I can see some legs to this. Is there going to be some investment in Bonneville? You know, the people, because like Max's bar there, people moving there, people having, you know, starting businesses, certainly spending time and money there, helping the locals. What do you see as a long-term effect of this?
You know, I really haven't thought too much ahead right now. We are still in a super crisis situation. There's numerous areas of Acapulco that we still haven't even been able to get into, and no one has. We're getting into more of those places today. A lot of that stuff's happening more on my side. We kind of have two sort of sides. We have the Anarchapoco people who are mostly helping in the Bonneville and Diamante area, but there's the poor areas which are much worse hit. And that's all my family are working on that. So we're actually based out of my house with that. And so that's really my main focus. We still have not even got into some areas. They haven't had food or water for nearly a week now in those areas. So that's my main focus, but I can certainly see that, as one example, I just did a video called "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger." And the reason I called it that is because that's exactly what's happening. Most of the people survived this storm. I don't know how. This is a true miracle. No one knew it was coming. Imagine an entire city of over 500,000 people going to sleep, and a tornado of 200 mile per hour winds hits every place in the city while they're all asleep. Maybe Danny can comment, but the official stats, which don't mean anything, but it's the only thing we have right now, is 27 people have been found dead. We personally, I haven't heard of anyone that we've sent out that have seen anyone who's died. So this is a true miracle. And I think we will see, if we can help rebuild here, we will see, and Pat has already talked about this, it's pulled the Anarchapoco, not just even the staff and the crew and people like Danny and Kat and everyone, but a lot of the people who attend Anarchapoco are all contributing to this. We've become incredibly tight-knit. If we can pull off getting through this crisis, getting to the recovery, and having Anarchapoco in 2024 in the Secret Garden, and by the way, there's only one area of all of Acapulco that is completely untouched, like not even a twig looks broken. It's the area right where we have the event. Talk about complete blessing from above sort of a thing. I should also mention my house is the least damaged house that I've seen in Acapulco. Just a few of the windows got smashed. I don't know how, because most other houses are destroyed. And even Max Egan, he wasn't there, but he had his stuff there. He loves his guitars and his computers and his cat. All of them survived a Cat 5 right on the beach. So we are definitely blessed. And if we can do this event in February, it's going to be and this is our 10th anniversary too, and we named it Reborn before all of this happened. This is going to be the most incredible sort of coming together. Most of the town will have realized how much we've done for them. This is going to be if we can pull this off, and we think at this moment in time it's looking like we might be able to do it. We can't confirm yet, of course, we're still figuring out, if we do, this could be just massive in terms of the entire town. They're already pretty anarchist already. That's actually one of the reasons I think Acapulco was targeted. We found out soon after they were planning to do a smart city, 15-minute city in Acapulco, which the people there would never have stood for. So they're trying to wipe out a lot of the poor people, but we're there trying to save them right now. Hopefully we can help them recover, and they won't come through with their plans. If we do, Acapulco, which is already a very anarchist place, and that's why I've lived there, that's why my wife's from there, and that's why Anarchapoco is there, will become even far, far more, because the government, of all the people who've helped so far, it's been us, it's been private organizations. I should put a shout out to the Red Cross in Mexico. My wife told me it's run by someone, a family that's very rich, called the Palazuelos, I believe their name is. They actually basically created Tulum. They're very wealthy, but they have a lot of things in Acapulco. They're actually the owners of Zebu Restaurant, which many people might know. They were there fairly quickly, and they're helping out a lot from what I hear. Danny says he hasn't seen them as much lately, but I'm hearing that they're doing quite a bit. So that's another private organization. And you know, Red Cross in other countries, some of them are just complete scams and frauds, but here in Mexico, it appears quite good. So you have the anarchists, you have the private charities, you have the private companies, as Danny mentioned, CFE putting in the power very quickly already, which has been amazing. The private internet companies have been doing stuff. A lot of the funds have been raised using cryptocurrency. And the last thing, Danny mentioned the military. The military has started to help, especially with medical issues, so that's good. But as far as government support, I don't know if there has been any whatsoever so far. And at this point, I'm kind of like almost like okay with it, because we've almost, in the next few days, we should hopefully have the situation fairly under control, and we can show that it was all done privately.
This is interesting that you have like what happened to Maui, what happens all over the place, that they're able to directly impact. And don't worry about it. We got that 15-minute city thing. We're going to really make it nice, but not for you people that the riffraff, you're not allowed. You know, so this is, they're not there to save the property of the people or even just support their property rights so you can come back and rebuild. It's not like they don't have enough material laying around. So this is, it's going to be interesting, and I can think of no better group of people that can articulate what is happening as it's happening. This is it. So are you able to get into Acapulco on the bay, the beach, your home there, Jeff? Is there, they got M16s out there or FALs that they have, 308s, that they are preventing people from going to their property? Is that happening there like they do in the U.S.?
Yeah, let me cover all that real quick. I'm here, and that's fake news. That's bullshit. They're not stopping anyone. They stopped and asked us on the way in one time, "Where are you going?" That's it. They didn't even look inside the van. We had all this stuff. So these are all lies about them taking your stuff that you're going to be helping with. That's all bull stuff.
Add quickly, Danny, if you don't mind, that it's exactly like what we see with CNN and all the mainstream media in the U.S. I actually fell for it at first because I didn't know the Mexican media is the same. The Mexican media has actually probably been one of the worst things for this disaster, because they've kept people from coming into Acapulco by spreading lies that the government is stopping people, that is too dangerous. This has all been spread by the media, which in fact I think wants to get rid of the president. So it's very similar to like a Donald Trump sort of situation, where you have the media spreading lies which are actually damaging people.
So this has already got politicized.
We're pressed for time because we have to get back to Cuernavaca before 5, so we can get the stuff loaded up and everything. I'll just leave you with two things. One, the store. So with Hurricane Harvey, it was different because there were stores. I could go somewhere and I could buy stuff. Here, there's no stores left. They're gone. Yeah. So there's nowhere to buy anything other than maybe a few mom and pop stores that are popping up, and all you can buy is like chips and soda. So there's no place to get food here yet because they don't have the stores open. You know, so that's the problem. There aren't supplies to get, you know. Other than that, but there's no problem with the military or any of that other stuff. That I had another point, and I forgot it. But we do have to get going. I can stay on the line until we lose signal, but we're gonna
go
ahead and start
driving.
Go.
Don't let anybody suffer unnecessarily for us. Go ahead and go, and if you can keep a signal, that's cool. But thanks, Danny, and you're gonna get a you know, a shiny badge for something. I mean, this is so Danny, you know. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Yeah, we're starting to lose. Yeah, we lost him. Okay, this is this has been really, I'm so glad that we're able to help. And I just want to make sure that people still have an opportunity to donate in such a way that if you, especially if you're crypto oriented, that you can donate in such a way, one, you can be anonymous. You know, that's always a benefit because they go after people that do this kind of stuff now. And the fact that it goes straight to Jeff and company, that they can make use of it immediately. If you do the GoFundMe thing, we're looking at, it's already over, going to be over a week. You know, it could be easily 2 weeks. What a crock of crap. Who would use them anymore? Especially after they did the trucker convoy thing. The heck with them. You know, I mean, are you inclined to use GoFundMe, promote them again, make them money, Jeff? Huh? Are you?
You know, I have to be honest. If we received the money, I would. And it's just because, unfortunately, so many people are just so used to using it. That's where most of the funds actually went in.
Yeah.
Now, if we don't get the funds, if we don't get them in time, that's a different story. But it's looking fairly good at the moment. But yes, it would be so much better if people would realize to stop using all of these sort of things and start using crypto. But like I said, we raised over 100,000 crypto. And so far, that's lasted us up until now and probably at least for another day or two. So but it would be nice if people started to wake up and stuff like that. And I've seen a few people saying, Jeff, you're such an idiot for using GoFundMe. It's like, well, we did start a Gifts and Go, and you're welcome to donate there. And we received $5,000 there so far because not many people know about it. Not many people have accounts there set up. So it's just one of those things. We're just trying to do whatever we can. If we do receive the funds from GoFundMe, I'll be fairly happy. I think people need to realize that if they have emergency situations, they have to be somewhat, this is insane. Like to wait 2 weeks during a situation where we're just trying to get the funds and get it out to people is beyond insane. But unfortunately, most people just don't know that. So we're just doing all we can with what we got.
You know, another thing, this is, you know, an example. This is education. This is, you know, things that you need to know. And when they did the trucker convoy in Canada, and it was a political decision with the financial institutions of, you can't have the money, we're not even refunding it, you know, and it's just so bad, so draconian. It's almost like you want to pay them $20 for doing it. You know, I go, yeah, you could, you know, thank you, buttheads. Well, you know, this delay is, that's one reason why crypto to me has one flaw. It's really easy to spend. You know, I want to be able, I was telling Paul Poy over at Edge, I said, you know what you could do for me? You know, especially if you're linking it to my bank anyway or whatever. Whenever I purchase something, that it buy and replenish it plus 10% or something. Give me that option. And then, man, I'll spend it all day long. You know, it'd be a lot easier that way. So this has been a really good example of what needs to be done. Now, your wife's family, you have a lot of contacts in Acapulco. It's a lot of them, I would imagine, are businesses too. So is there any restrictions on people just opening up, building, but they got water problems, they got food problems, they got, so when you say the immediate need right now is, heck, you know, shelter, I what is it like on the ground that you're hearing from your wife's family, that how are they surviving? You know, they're waiting for Danny to get there or what?
Yeah, it's, you know, Danny would be able to answer this a lot better than me because I'm not on the ground. And some people have said, Jeff, why aren't you there? It's like, well, there's no power and there's no internet. That's the majority of my superpowers, is being able to coordinate all this from outside, because we actually, there has been really no signal until just recently. We just brought in Starlink's yesterday. So once there's power, and actually have power at my house with a generator, we're just waiting for an electrician to come in and make sure we don't power it up and blow up the house because the solar panels flew off and there's wiring and stuff like that. But once we have power and internet, I'll probably be heading down. But I'm hearing from my family side, which my daughter's been there. She's actually been one of the top people doing almost everything on my family side. She's running it like a 5-star general. She's a 17-year-old unschooled girl, by the way. I'm hearing that people are fairly good in terms of We haven't seen too much panic yet. We're definitely, it seems like they're basically just in shock. Most of those people in the poorer areas have just lost everything. All they have is the clothes that they're wearing. Everything else is gone. It blew away. We're bringing up enough food and water at the moment with us and other people now helping that I think we're getting close to the point where it's not massive, like people are going to die tomorrow if we can't get them food and water at this point. I think we're almost through that, although there is some areas, like I said, including Pita La Cuesta, that no one's heard anything from. It's completely blocked. It's so bad you can't even get in there. And of course, there hasn't been much help from the government to get into any of these places. And we don't have helicopters and, you know, people who can rappel in and all that kind of stuff. So we're still waiting to hear on some of those areas. But in general, there was a lot of rumors at the very beginning that there was just mobs and people just robbing each other and killing each other. It turns out that almost all of those were not true. And most of the people, like Danny said, have been just, you know, hanging in there, working together. People who can help are helping. You played a video there I saw earlier, taxi drivers who still have a taxi. And most of them do if they weren't along the coast. Most of those taxis got wiped out from the storm surge, which was absolutely massive. You know, people might say, Jeff, you know, you said there's no rain with the hurricane. Why is there all these cars like upside down in mud and water and stuff? That's from the storm surge. There was no rain with this thing. So anyway, taxi drivers are going to like creeks and stuff and filling up water bottles. Now, there's probably going to be a fair amount of sickness because no one's filtering a lot of this stuff. We're bringing in bottled water. People it's just like Acapulco is that you know it. The people there are amazing. I have to say we got some mezcal as one of our supplies. We've also been asked for cigarettes by a lot of people. I've heard from some people, once these guys get out of there, they come down, they get some water, they get some food, and then they can have a shot of mezcal. All we need now is to get some music playing, and it'll be like not too bad for them because that's what they like. It's that real wonderful people of Acapulco are surviving this, but they can still use all the help that we can offer. And if we can even get more donations in the coming weeks to help people start to, we're talking about building shelters now, because a lot of these places, there's just nothing there. They have no homes. They're all sleeping basically on the ground with nothing over their head, without much right now. If we can at least get up some temporary shelters, and then even, we're already been talking about all kinds of ways we can build permanent shelters for very cheaply, whether it be through 3D printers or earthships or tents there's some really good tents now.
Sounds like they need a dome, geodesic domes. You know, this is the idea that they're doing this fresh. You get a fresh slate. I mean, this is, of course, what those bad guys want. We need a fresh slate so we can build our 15 minutes of slavery. And what if we take the opportunity, you know, but I need to know, what about property rights? You know, people, are they deeded? There all these little businesses and these homes and people in Bonefield there on the beach and the little streets. It's very, the word that came to mind, I don't know what other word I would use, but it was quaint, whatever that means. It was just kind of villagey. It was safe. It was fun. There was people enjoyed just living and, you know, their neighbors walking down the street, going to a little taco stand. It was very relaxing. It was a slowed down pace of chill. And the people were nice. And as long as you weren't trying to compete with the cartel or something, you didn't have any problem. You know, it's just, you start messing with them, you got problems. That's another thing. I want to talk about, you know, the cartels and so on, what role they might play. And a lot of times they're heroes in this kind of stuff. But I want to know about the property right protection from the government. Are they coming in and do the Maui thing? We're going to make it a park and you're eminent domain or you're not allowed. Or are they saying, this is yours. All right, peace out. Start building, rebuild, and go. And if you have that attitude and the freedom and the need to do it, and maybe a little bit of help, and here's some Portland cement, boom. They be a making Portland cement. I mean, Mexico is all about masonry, man. I mean, all of a sudden in a week, it's done. So, and probably a lot of those structures survive. Maybe not the roof, but I mean, you know, so the reconstruction, what kind of impediment do you think there would be to that?
Yeah, I should point out that as bad as it looks, all the concrete structures are all totally fine. So in one sense, it's better than an earthquake because all the structures are still there. So all those hotels and everything, all they need to do is put up new windows, clean out the insides, get whatever furniture got wrecked, fix it or buy new ones. And it's basically good to go. So I expect all the apartment buildings, hotels, they might even be up and running in the next few months. The issue is in the poor areas, most people don't live in concrete buildings and stuff like that. So if they didn't, it's mostly all blown away. And I have a theory, a number of theories of why this was done. One of them is to attack Mexico. Carlos Slim, a billionaire in Mexico, has been buying up all the property in Acapulco. And they want to put in, like, I think what they want to do is make it like the rich and famous again. And they want to wipe out all these poor areas and make it just so everything's all nice and like a 15-minute city, smart city type stuff. So that's what they're going to be trying to do. But if we can help out enough, as far as property rights go, it's kind of funny in Mexico. No one really cares about much. No one really listens to the government. So if the people there have the resources to stay, if they have the resources to rebuild, it's not like in the U.S. where the government will come in and kick them off the land. If the government does that, they will all be killed. This is what people hear all the time about Mexico and why I love Mexico. If the government does anything against the people will fight back and kill anyone in the government, including the police. So this is very, very different than what you see in a place like Maui, where they use their directed energy weapons to burn out all the Polynesians. But because everyone listens to the government there, when they come in and say, okay, well, your place got burnt out by, an act of God, we're going to rezone it now and you don't have the property rights. People there, unfortunately, just say, well, I guess we don't have the property rights. That does not happen in Mexico and it does not happen definitely in Acapulco. If these people have the resources, they will stay on their land and they will fight anyone who tries to kick them off. So this is actually going to be the next battle, is to try to keep anyone who wants to stay there and help them rebuild and to keep out the globalists from the billionaires coming in and taking all their land. So that's going to be the next step. But again, I haven't worried about it too much until we get this crisis under control.
You know, there's a lot for someone that's poor and they survive this and they want to stay. There's enormous amount of resources that are there just in the damage, the wood, the aluminum, the steel, the metal, it's amazing. And probably the only thing they need, it's not like they don't have sand. So it's Portland cement. I mean, it's like, barges of Portland cement, bring it. So this is, there's a long-term thing. Do you think by Anarcapoco in February, you guys are going to be, focusing on this? Or is it going to be, the speakers, they have their thing. And I mean, what can we expect from Anarcapoco this year in light of this?
I'll tell you, I made a joke in the comments as we're starting to realize that it might be, because we thought at first glance it looked like, forget it, we're not doing Anarcapoco this year. In Acapulco, everything's gone. But as we started to discover, the Secret Garden guys, they said, yeah, a lot of stuff's knocked over, but we're going to rebuild it. They said already they're going to have it ready in time for February. We talked to numerous of the hotels, which are all concrete structures, so they're fine. All their windows are blown out. Some of the furniture's damaged. They're going to replace it. They said they're going to be ready by February. While this was happening, we started commenting that this reborn slogan that actually I came up with really had new meaning now. Yep. And actually, I was kind of like, no, I knew a lot of this stuff was going to happen. This is the apocalypse. So I kind of knew in one way or another stuff like this was going to happen. So they started saying that. And I said, well, we'll see. It still could be not reborn, but stillborn could be our slogan this year. But it's looking more and more like it will be. And if we do, like I said, I would not doubt if so many people came just because of what's going on and to support the event on its 10th anniversary. And they're seeing already all the help we're giving and they're helping as well with their donations. We could see, and I actually didn't think about it, what Danny said. The biggest problem with Secret Garden is they couldn't hold lots of people because there were so many places which had all kinds of trees and stuff because it's a botanical garden that we couldn't fit them in. But who knows? Maybe this will be our biggest Anarcapoco ever in February. And I know for people like Kat, who works with all these suppliers and vendors and taxi drivers and all the sort of people, all these people have been mostly wiped out. We're definitely going to be trying to help them out as much as possible to get back on their feet. So this could be almost like everyone in tears of celebration that we not only survive, but we are reborn coming in February. This could be the most beautiful thing ever. But like I said, I'm just focused on getting out of this crisis. There's still a lot of need just to get the basics. Once we know we have the food and the water coming into everywhere, then I'll calm down a bit about the crisis, and then we can start to worry about the recovery, and then we can start to worry about what we're going to do with Narcopoco in February.
You know, this is a really good opportunity. I want to show the logo here that you guys have. You know, it is the Phoenix. I mean, it's Freedom is Rising, reborn. What a perfect opportunity. From the ashes comes Freedom's Phoenix. And this is, I really, when I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, and it's time, you know, and reborn with the B as a Bitcoin logo. That it's all, it's like they did you I wouldn't say a favor, but I don't think it's going to go the way they, them, those think it will. Cause they can't think the way we do. It's not in their makeup. They can't. They can't imagine what the opportunity, they can't imagine on the personal scale, the human to human scale, the opportunity for us to demonstrate what works best. This is, they're not able to comprehend that or certainly articulate that or be a good example. They're always a bad example. So this is going to be already, are you getting positive feedback from the locals, the people, even the government? Are you have any contacts with the local government, if there is one left? I don't know. You know, in Acapulco or Bonneville, does Bonneville even have like a city limits or anything? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, there's not really anything like that. There's no real organization for much. I actually have some theories about what happened, about how it actually was. I'm not actually going to get into them, and it might actually be dangerous for me at this moment in time to get into them. I will say my only communication with the government was in a video. I said that when I believed the media, so I fell for the fake news that the government was trying to keep supplies out of Acapulco and trying to stop us. I said in a video that if they're doing that, I'm going to kill the president. Someone contacted me from their side and said, we're not trying to stop you. And if you're going to try to kill the president, we're going to have to stop you. And I was like, well, if it's not true, then I retract it. So that was my only conversation.
Yeah, no, wait, no. Okay, wait. I watched your video when you said, I mean, you didn't say, you pretty much did. You know, I
said, he'll be gone.
Yeah, he'll be there. And he's gone. Okay. So it was, I was like, damn, Jeff's going to get something there. They're not going to let that one go by. So you did get some response. You go, whoa, Jeff, it's all good. It's all good, man. We're going to let you through. Why did they even contact you? What's so special about Jeff? What contacts do you have that they fear Jeff? What was that about?
You know, I really don't know. It was a guy on Telegram who contacted me. It sounded legit. He seemed to be talking like he knew what was going on. I don't know who it was, but I had the conversation with them and we reached an agreement that once I understood they were not trying to stop supplies, I said, I'll retract that statement and that we're all good. We're friends if they're not trying to stop us. And I don't know who it was. It could have been just some crazy person on the internet for all I know, but it sounded pretty legit. Yeah, it's...
Why did you say that? Was that a passion, you know, out of
concern? Yeah,
or
I
you
thought,
just really... Man, you game on. I mean, you know, what was your attitude on that?
So I had just heard that they were blocking the roads and not letting anyone bring in supplies, the military, under orders of the president. Now, that was fake news. But I had just read that, and I went out to do a video, and yeah, I meant it. Anyone who tries to stop us from helping these people, I will do whatever it takes to stop them from stopping us, and anything it takes. And we actually have the capabilities to do that with all the people we know in Acapulco.
Yeah.
So, no, I meant it, but I was wrong, and I apologized, and I retracted it. But I still do mean it. Anyone who tries to stop us from helping in Acapulco, they're going to have a bad time. And my wife's family and everyone in Acapulco, You talked about the cartels and all that. The cartels are really mostly just the people in the town that are involved more in the drug trade and stuff like that. But they're people with families, and they actually care about the town and all that kind of stuff. So you might not hear about them like out, you know, with their cartel shirts on helping. They're just regular people helping. But those people are very strong as well. And that's actually why Acapulco and a lot of Mexico has remained so free, is because of people like that. So I don't expect that they're going to get away with doing like a Maui type situation and taking over the land and kicking out people here. They don't have the capabilities. And there's too many people who will violently fight if they try to do that. And if we can do on the other side, help them out with the resources so that they have the resources to stay and rebuild, they won't really even have a chance. So this is an attack on us for so many reasons, and on Mexico, and to promote the global warming thing. Everyone who has heard about this hurricane, every single person on the internet's like, you see, we've got to stop driving cars. We've got to stop eating meat. Yeah. Look how the hurricanes are getting now. It's like, this is not a normal hurricane. This is what happened in Maui. This is what they do all over the place. But if we can, this is our stronghold, actually. Between my wife's family and the Anarcapoco side, this is our town, and none of us are going to stand for this. Like, if they thought they were going to roll over us, they thought they could just hit us with a Cat 5 and we're all just going to go away and let them do what they want to do, they don't understand who they're dealing with.
They don't understand so many things. They wanted a clean slate for whatever they wanted to do, and then they just provided you this opportunity to demonstrate what can be done. It's going to be done. See, now I'm thinking a lot of the people that have enjoyed Anarcapoco and have gone, they're always looking, well, what can I do? You know, who can I invest in a little business? Can we have some fun? Can we do, you know, whatever? We want to be part of the crowd. And now there's an opportunity. Now they're welcome. Now, you know, money from North America is like, you know, come on down and help and invest and be part of and do and open your own. You know, now you can buy a lot and a home maybe for really cheap, or you can certainly have labor to, it's just so many opportunities now have opened up, you know, for people in support of what you, because I remember when Dollar Vigilante and you first went to Acapulco way back in the day. You know, a lot of the Ron Paul revolutionaries were all, woo, man, we're going to go get a condo. A lot of people did move down. All right, do you have a stream of people still going down there? You know, and do you think that will increase now over this next year and going into the summer? Be part, if you're going to build what you want, well, now's the time to do it and rebuild what you want. You know, so is this a marketing thing? You're going to be trying to encourage people to come down? Now's a good time, where a lot of people, they wouldn't go, where a lot of us, this is a time to go. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. I really haven't thought about it because we're still in the crisis, but I can say that a number of people who have moved down, they have had some of their places just really destroyed. Although most places are still standing, it's just a big mess. Yeah. There's no power, there's no internet. So a lot, numerous of them have just left. For example, my neighbor, they went to Chilpanzingo. You know, there's power and internet there, at least until they can get the basic stuff back up and running. Some of them have been just leaving. There's no point really in being there if you have nothing. I guess you could help, but you don't even have your own food or anything. It's actually probably a better situation for a lot of people just to get out. But if you are like Danny, or if you're like my daughter or so many other people, and you don't mind being in pretty poor situations while you help out, then we invite anyone who wants to come down. We can use all the help we can get. We actually have a decent amount of funds now. We've got well over 40 people, I think, on the ground at this point, both from my family side and the Anarcapulco side, that are all working basically day and night on this. We could definitely use more people. Now, once it gets out of this crisis situation and power comes back on, internet signal comes back on, the water starts working again, the sewage, which has been a big problem, starts working again, that's going to be a issue if that doesn't get rectified soon. Once that happens, yeah, anyone who wants to come down, there might be a lot of opportunities, but I'm not even looking that far ahead at this point.
Well, the reason I bring it up is, you know, a benefit to some people kind of leaning this way anyway, but the big thing is like with Maui, They don't let you come in. They're making offers on homes to do what they want. They're going to take over whole neighborhoods. You know, your brains or your signature is going to be on this piece of paper kind of crap. And I'm just, if we, you know, claim the rebuild and the Phoenix reborn ourselves, or people that take advantage of the opportunity, like Max did, you know, he comes from Australia that was trying to kill him, and then he gets to Bonefill and he buys a Max bar. I mean, he's got the crow's nest, and that was awesome. You know, it's a lot of fun, and then he enjoys that. So I'm just, you know, that kind of thing is that we're just thinking into the future when these kinds of opportunities come up for this type of living, even maybe not your primary residence, but to have a place that you can go where the people are good. Because I get the feeling of a moral, you know, even though you got, you know, the cartels, this, that, you know, most of them, they're brought up Catholic. At least they know, they got, grandma told them what was right and wrong, how to be polite, not be a jerk, you know, don't be a dick. I mean, rule one. So this is a an opportunity, and they're good. I mean, I've been down there, you know, several times over the years, and it's been such a good experience and a weight taken off your shoulder. You come back to the United States refreshed after going through TSA, all that crap. But you know, you're down there, and it's so recharging. And I can see, with especially with the Phoenix Reborn theme, that you think you're going to get a lot of previous attendees, alumni is going to come. Do you think it's going to be more attended, less? Are you going to, the capability of Jardín Secreto is going to be, they can take more people? They were planning on that. What do you think is going to happen? Are you getting any feedback on attendance you think is going to be?
I haven't really thought about that. You might want to have Kat on to talk about that. She probably has a better idea.
Yeah.
It's really more of a situation of will things be able to be repaired enough and in time, and can people do it for the event? But you actually have stoked something in my mind that, yeah, a lot of stuff's been wiped out here. We actually could bring in, because we've got all the Earthship type people, Chad and all those guys, they've been building Earthships and stuff. Like, maybe we could remold Acapulco in a completely self-sustainable with like solar panels, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, this actually could be a massive, massive opportunity. And usually these sort of crises are. So I would not doubt it. But Ernie, you got to kind of laugh, right? When you look at the history of an Acapulco, you were at the first one. That was just like a bunch of weirdos and like oddballs and people who hated the government just showing up, and there was no structure or anything. Then we ran it for a few years, and then John got shot right before the 2008 event, and a lot of people said they were too scared to come. A lot of sponsors canceled. A whole HBO documentary got made about it. Then they did the whole COVID psyop for like 3 years, and every event on Earth stopped except for one that I know of, and that's in Acapulco. We never stopped once. We found the secret garden. We did it without masks, without 6 feet apart, while the rest of the world was all hiding in their houses. And now, right before the 10-year anniversary, the entire event and the entire city is hit by a Cat 5 hurricane. If we can pull this one off, I think, you know, like how we continue to do it, I don't know. But I almost want to at this point, because, you know, we've been through so much already. If we can get through this one too, then we're basically unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Unstoppable. Wasn't that one of your slogans 1 year?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think all of our slogans are coming true.
You know, this has been, you know, I don't want to, of course, we have immediate need now. You know, this is something that we have immediate need now. But you want to paint the picture in the whole atmosphere of what was built there, the relationships, the participation of the community, of the venue, the people involved, you know, people that have gone before, alumni, speakers, everything. That's why there was such an immediate response, with a good chunk of hundreds of thousands towards this because the people are so good. And the people are capable. And the people are nice. And the people are right thinking. I mean, they understand what the importance is of helping your neighbor. Because anarchists are not, chaos. You know, there's just, you know, it's not there aren't any rules. There's just aren't any rulers. And you get the rulers out of the way, people can help take care of people. And that's what's happened. And this is a good demonstration of it. And the future is going to be built on this from the reputation of a decade of being of help, of service, being nice. Because that's one of the things when we go to an Acapulco, and especially when I emceed, I'm encouraging people, over tip. Tip the crap out of these people. The taxi drivers, heck, they get, tipped as much as the ride. I mean, they get double. Here, take a 20, man. And it's just been, they're so appreciative, and they understand that we see them as equal, as other human beings, as people. And it's just been a really good experience. If you haven't experienced that type of totally different languages, totally different cultures, totally different, but they have the same core values. God, family, themselves, community. It's just, it's all intertwined with the goodness. And what happens? People want to create the government to save you from the bad guys, then the bad guys get in charge of it. That's what happens all the time. But they're learning from us, we're learning from them. Anything else you want to make sure the people know? We got up on the archive for today. Go on freedomsphoenix.com. You'll see the show, and then we'll start promoting it, and I'll get this edited, and we'll get it out. And it has all the contacts in there for donating, for you got GoFundMe, you got Gifts and Go Too, don't you? I mean, you got that on
there.
Yeah,
we do.
And we got, of course, crypto. Crypto's the easiest, boom, push button, and done. And you can definitely be anonymous that way, which is what a lot of people have done for that very reason. Because with Give, Send, Go, they went after the people that donated. And, the trucker convoy in Canada, how messed up is that? So this has been even though it's a tragedy, it's a heartwarming experience for people being able to demonstrate how people can help people. And Acapulco, that crowd has done a great job. And I know, and getting Kat on, Catherine on is a good idea, but we'll give it a little while. We'll wait a month or so, and we'll get it on for the future, what's going on, because we have more immediate needs now. And what do you think people should, if they got a desire to whatever, the main thing is just money. You need them to come down. You want them to bring their barge in, to the thing, fly over, drop. What do you need, Jeff?
As of right now, I think we've got a lot of people coming in. They're still coming in. Every day there's more people coming in from all over. There's been the anarchists in Puerto Vallarta have been coming in to help. There's been so many people coming in. But we could always use more people if you do want to come down, if you do want to help. We could definitely use more funds. And you can go to our website, HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. The more that we have, the more that we can do, and especially even helping people recover after this. A lot of people don't have houses and stuff like that. So if we can help them to rebuild their houses, that would be amazing. But obviously, that's going to take a lot of capital. So that's the main things. Get on our Acapulco Telegram chat. I think it's just called Acapulco Official on Telegram. That's where a lot of information is coming out. On Twitter, we have Hurricane Otis RE is the username. You could probably just look up Hurricane Otis Recovery on Twitter. You'll find it. We're pumping out all the updates there. We're also updating the website every day with photos, videos, receipts of everything we're buying. We could just use your support in those ways. And then as far as Acapulco, for anyone who's already bought a ticket, just hang in there. Give us a couple days here. See what we're going to do. For anyone who's thinking of coming, just hang in there. But please keep us in mind. It'd be great to have maybe one of our largest attended events ever, because that will bring in a lot of money for the hotels, for the workers, So don't write us off at the very least at this point, and at the most, hopefully, try to help us out or come down in any way. This actually might be the most beautiful. This is, I already know, it's going to be the most beautiful event. The orphans are going to be there like they always are. They all survived, by the way, on the beach. They've got a big concrete structure. They all survived. And now, as Danny pointed out, they're actually helping out with us with the donations to help the rest of Acapulco. It's all turning into a beautiful thing now. And so hopefully, if and probably when we do it in February, hopefully everyone can come and be a part of it.
I got up here, you know, I'm showing the audience, Hurricane Otis Acapulco Rescue and Recovery GoFundMe, $275,000 there. Raised of a goal of 10 million. Oh my God, you're gonna be building the hotels? I mean, 10 million? We're rebuilding Bonefell now. I
mean, well, you know, Ernie, when I started it, you know, most, when there's a massive, massive event like a Cat 5 hurricane or a 8 point something earthquake that destroys a city, usually some of those GoFundMes go up well into the tens of millions of dollars, and no one had even started one yet. So when we started it, I said, why don't we put 10 million as a goal? Unfortunately, it's only been a few hundred thousand so far. And it's kind of like this entire hurricane and the event. No one even knows what happened because of everything going on in Gaza, unfortunately. But I was hoping that possibly a lot of people even outside of our circles would hear about it and donate, and there could be millions of dollars. And if there is, and there still could be, by the way, if people start to realize what's happening there, then we can actually start to help them rebuild, like serious, like with like homes and stuff, right? So that was the intention and original goal. But for now, at least we've raised the funds to help them get back on their feet. And then we'll just go from there now.
Immediate when it matters. You know, that, you know, it's a, you know, a day late and dollar short doesn't do you any good. I mean, it's, you know, this was immediate. And the one thing, Jeff, I knew your heart was into it when you were online talking about what you had done to try and get people to take this seriously and to leave, you know, to prepare themselves. And, you know, and I, it's too often a lot of us in this space that we feel that, you know, you're just never listened to, but it does build up credibility for when it happens. You go, look, here it comes again. So the next time, maybe they'll take it a little bit more serious, but it just adds to your credibility and a lot of us that warn of this. And I just want to reiterate, we need to get ready because, you know, Hurricane Otis is going to be hitting everybody financially. It's going to be a supply chain, a food thing. It's going to be, you know, they, them, those don't want you to be doing what you want to do, and they'll kill you for it, you know. It's, I just really, now I feel like I'm in a race, is why Donna and I are back in the desert, and we're getting ready for the next whatever, because there's going to be a next whatever, and it's going to be bad. And what we've got from Anarcapoco and the speakers there and the opportunity to help, we've learned. We've made a lot of relationships. We have a lot of friends. And what did we do with that? We took it and helped other people when they needed it. And Jeff took advantage of that and did it. Thank you, Jeff. This is, it's very inspiring. As bad as this is, and I know that you lack of sleep and you were very worried about it. You did everything you could. You're working. You're like, damn it. So now, all right, fine. Now we got to help save them. Damn it. You know, that. You know, you could have, you know, been prepared, better prepared, or where. But it's a great opportunity, a great cause, great people. I'm very happy to endorse and help. You know, let me know what else we can do, and we'll see. We're planning on, you know, being in the middle of building in February. And you know, maybe I'll make it down. We'll see. You know, but I'm just like, dang it! I was going to miss this year because we're getting ready and building on the desert, and it's not hot here. You know, during that time. So I want to take advantage of that. But certainly the following year, or if you need some skills, you know, we have a lot of the building methods that we're going to be doing is probably what they're going to do, or they could use some domes or whatever. When Danny has gone down, I offered him 3 domes for the earthquake stuff. You know, but it was just the transportation getting them down. But what they need is to have a manufacturer and somebody knows how to whatever. But I tell you, the Mexican people, They be knowing how to do masonry. They got it taken care of. And that's kind of what they need. So maybe it's just everybody sends down some Portland cement on a barge. You do that, you're done. You know? So thanks for coming on and explaining this to us. Any final words for everybody before we let you go?
Not really. Just HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. We can use all the help we can get. And thank you, Ernie. As always, you're always there to help spread the word and get this information out. And I hope you can make it down in February because, as I said, this might, if we do it, it might be one of the most amazing events we've ever done.
No doubt. No doubt. We'll get, you know, Kat, oh, maybe she convinced me. We'll see. But the thing is that I really encourage people to go. This would be a great year, a great example, a great opportunity for people to go to a Narcopoco, because I guarantee they're going to make it nice for everybody. But the surrounding area, you get to spread to the love to people that appreciate you being there. Appreciate you being there. How often is that, especially, you know, going to another country? But here, they appreciate you being there. Jeffrey, thank you very much for coming on. Good luck. And please keep us informed. And I'll have reach out to Kat and get her on, have things kind of settle a little bit and get into the promotion in Narcopoco. And we'll pep that too.
Good. Thank you, Ernie.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.
Peace.
Peace, guys.